The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Kathy Taylor, Simon Enstey, I'm good in yourselves.
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
I'm perplexed, Rolene. I've been trying to watch and understand the Israeli election results, and I need a doctorate and help me unpack it, and please talk to the Balad stance that they are taking. Over to you.
Okay. First, tell us who Balad is.
Well, first of all, I wish I had such influence on people. Balad is one of the Arab parties, and they've abstained from nominating a prime minister. But let me update you as to where we currently, as of this precise minute, where we stand.
Yeah.
So yesterday, the president, President Rivlin, as per his the office that he holds, he consulted all the major party leaders about who they would recommend, who they would tap for prime minister. Now, what was very interesting, and where Balad, which is an Arab party known to be very, very anti the state, yes, this is Israel, the democracy. We even have parties represented in our parliament that are anti-state or anti-Zionist. They are part of the Arab list, the joint Arab list, and the joint Arab list that has 13 seats. 10 of those people, with the exemption of three, which are Balad, tapped Benny Gantz to be the next prime minister. Now, where this is causing a whole lot of issues is that people, and I've seen it on social media, people have been a little bit panicky, saying, you know, does this mean, you know, Benny Gantz is going to give the country away? No, it doesn't. Nobody's giving any country away. What is very, very unusual and very, very unprecedented is that for the first time in 25 years, the joint Arab list or Arab representatives in the Knesset have actually tapped a representative for prime minister. Normally they abstain. So this is the first time that this has happened. It is quite historical. And their reason is that they don't want Netanyahu in power. So after lengthy consultations, including some Chaver Knesset, which abstained from endorsing a particular candidate, including Yisrael Biteinu leader Avigdor Lieberman, it looks like we are possibly heading to government. Okay, so now where do we stand? Even though Kahol V'Lavan have got two seats ahead of the Likud, Benjamin Netanyahu has got one more vote for prime minister than Gantz. So this again leaves us in a situation where we're neck and neck. So the likely outcome is a government of national unity. Gantz has just met with Lieberman. They both gave identical statements saying that they exchanged views. What these views are, we don't know. But Lieberman would not tap Gantz because he says that he's got the endorsement and is prepared to include Arab representations, and he won't tap Netanyahu because he says Netanyahu wants to include the ultra-Orthodox, which, as we know, is one of the reasons we've gone to this election, because of Lieberman's objection to the ultra-Orthodox. He prefers a secular but nationalistic government. So President Rivlin has said that we will go towards a unity government, and he has called on Netanyahu and Gantz to sit and talk. So they are expected to meet later tonight, and the one thing that will come out of this meeting, because it does look like we are not going to a third election,
yeah.
We are not going to coalition building, we are likely, and unless, you know, something absolutely out of this world, strange and pulled out of a hat happens, we are going towards unity government. The one thing remains is who will lead it first. So this is where we currently stand, unless their things change. Thank God I'm doing a doctorate degree. That's how I sort of kind of understand this.
Well, it makes such sense to me, because that is actually what the majority of Israelis have said that they want. I mean, that's what they voted. There's a clear majority with those two parties together. So it makes a whole lot of sense that that should be the result. What I wanted to ask you, Rolene, Lieberman himself, the man, is he that ambitious? Does he actually see himself as prime ministerial material?
What a delicious question. Well, you know, they've called him the kingmaker, and I think that he has definite long-term ambitions of being the king.
Wow.
He very kind of almost modestly before the election said, you know, maybe not this elections, but maybe in the future, you know, this elections, he's played very, very strategically. First of all, he's made it very, 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 well announced that he's a man that once he makes a decision, he's not going to budge from it. He has doubled the amount of seats that he now has in the Knesset. Having said that, his party only has about 8 or 9 seats. However, he's very, very well aware now of his strength and how he has kind of maneuvered himself into the position as the so-called kingmaker, and now knows that his next campaign, whenever that may be, he's going to have to play a different campaign. He's going to have to appeal to a wider group of voters. At the moment, most people see him as the leader of the Russians and perhaps some French. He has brought in 1 or 2 French candidates onto his list. But as far as, you know, Israelis are concerned, as far as the Anglo communities are concerned, he's somewhat of an enigma. So if I was advising Avigdor Lieberman, I would say to him, if you really want, you've proven yourself to be a man of your principles. If you want the prime ministership, you're going to have to let people get to know you. We're going to have to know you beyond this very dogmatic kind of leader.
We look forward to following that in the next couple of days very closely. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Rashida Tlaib, and I don't know the lady's first name, Bilu. This broke last week, the story, how she was kicked out of the Women's March. What's the backstory?
Okay, so the backstory is as follows. We're all familiar with the Women's March that came to global consciousness about 2 years ago, and three of their leaders, Bob Bland, Tamika Mallory, and Linda Sarsour, have been seen as, you know, making anti-Semitic statements, aligning themselves with anti-Semitic figures such as Louis Farrakhan. He's the leader of the Nation of Islam. He has very, very famously compared Jews to termites. And this, of course, has created a lot of backlash. Tamika Mallory referring to Farrakhan as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Linda Sarsour, as we know, she doesn't believe the state of Israel should exist. She's also said that Zionists are creepy and made other kinds of statements. So they've been fired off the Women's March. The Women's March came out with a statement saying that they contravene their principles. They then brought on Zahra Bilou from CARE, which is a Muslim organization in America. And she has also made very, very controversial statements. She's made statements saying things like, you know, she doesn't believe Israel should exist. We are, you know, an apartheid country, that, you know, we are committing genocide against children. And 3 days after sitting on the national executive of the Women's March, she was subsequently asked to leave because, again, of the backlash and because it's it was brought to their attention that she's made comments like the Israeli army is joined to ISIS and things as ludicrous as that.
Wow.
And she has now gone on the offensive saying that it's pure bigotry and Islamophobia that has led to her being fired. And Rashida Tlaib has come out saying, you know, giving her support, saying, you know, they're trying to silence us because we stand for the human rights of Palestinians. And this is where, as you know, as we've discussed, Kathy, you and I've discussed it, Simon, you and I've discussed it, where there is no line between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism when you are making comments such as this and where you're willing the state of Israel to no longer exist.
So can I just ask you something on that point, Ro? Is,
sure.
What happens with Christian Zionists? You know, because they get as much flack as Jewish Zionists. Surely that isn't classified as anti-Semitism.
That is a fascinating question. That is a fascinating question because, and it's one that actually isn't discussed all that often. And I think it's one that maybe we need to start having a conversation.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a conversation, which we will have at some other point, because I'm looking at the time and we've got to get to news headlines. Thank you so much, Ro. We will speak to
God
you
bless,
tomorrow.
Guys.
And have a wonderful evening. God bless. Bye-bye.